As you can see, we're beginning a new series entitled The Holy Spirit. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, what's great about this series is not only are we going to be discussing the Holy Spirit here on a Sunday morning, but hopefully you have taken the step and gotten involved in one of our community groups. We're going to be taking the message that is spoken here in the morning, and we're going to be applying it in our lives throughout the week in our community groups. So this is important. So hopefully you're taking that step. Again, if you haven't taken a step, the first one is Starting Point, and the next one is one of our community groups. You can get involved by simply using one of these cards here, signing up for one of our groups, or you can go to our Facebook page. Click there. You'll see a registration there on our Facebook page. Just sign up for one of our community groups. You'll see them listed, day, time, all the information that you need to get involved. The Holy Spirit. We're going to be reading from three different scriptures today. Usually we stick on one scripture, but really when you talk about the Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. What we're going to see is we're going to specifically focus on who this person is. Jesus calls him a name, and it's a name that you and I will understand. Jesus is a good leader. He's not going to confuse us, give us things we're not going to understand. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's about to ascend into heaven. And you have to understand, the disciples are pretty nervous. They're fearful. Here we have Jesus, their great leader, has done all of these miracles, gives them the great commission that they are to take the gospel of who he is around the world. Big task, right? And he tells them, but I'm leaving. I'm not going to be with you. So you can imagine their general, their commander, they are fearful soldiers in a sense, wondering, where are you going, Jesus? But here we're going to find out that Jesus is going to tell them that me leaving is actually to your advantage. And not only was it for their advantage, friends, it's for our advantage as well. It's going to be a good message for all of us today. So focus in. Pay attention, don't get distracted, all right? So we're going to skip down to verse 24, verse 49. Here we go. He says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Let's go to John 16. Flip over to the right just a little bit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 16. We're going to find out who this person is. Verse 7, 16:7. Nevertheless, he says, I tell you the truth. It's good that Jesus tells us the truth. It is to your advantage. There we go. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, that word is key for us today, helper. Your version might say comforter, counselor, advocate. We're going to get to that here in a moment. The helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Let's go to John 14. Last two scriptures here, 16 and 17. Here's Jesus again. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. He says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, one of the greatest ways for you and I, as we address the Holy Spirit starting today, we're going to be going through this the whole month of September. So you want to make plans right now. I'm going to be at church. I'm telling you, there is a blessing for you just coming to church. God teaches us things. He opens our minds so we can understand things. One of the greatest ways you and I grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit is through accurate Bible teaching. And by experiencing him, how he activates, what he's like, really we experience that through others. This is how, as you look at your Bible, these men and women, especially in the New Testament, they learned about the Holy Spirit. They experienced him as he was working through others. It's really as you look at church history, as how we understand how the Holy Spirit functions, how he works. The Holy Spirit is known through the Word of God, and by experiencing him through others. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Now, many of us may have somewhat of an understanding when we talk about God the Father. That word's familiar to us, right? Father, we understand that word. We use that word ourselves. We understand God the Son. We understand the word Son, and we also understand who that is. That's Jesus. But when it comes to this third person, God the Holy Spirit, oftentimes we are very confused about it. We wonder, is he real? Is he relevant? Is he even necessary for today? Do I really need this person living on the inside of me? Think about his name, Holy Spirit. Even that word Spirit, most of the time when you think of the word Spirit, you don't think of what? Something that's going to help you. I think about spooky things. I think about scary things. Scary movies that I wish I never would have watched. That's why I don't watch them anymore. I don't watch scary movies. I'm trying to get fear out of me, not into me. Why would I subject myself to a scary movie? But when you think, because why? Spirit, spooky, scary. We don't think of something that's going to help us, something that's going to serve us. We think of something that's going to harm us. Maybe some of us have come from church backgrounds where people did things in the name of the Spirit, and they may have seemed a little weird or a little strange, or where you looked at that and saw that and said, you know what, if that's Holy Spirit, I don't want that to be a part of my life. Maybe some of us have had some bad teaching about the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you today. You know, if you thought it was weird, if you thought it was strange, it might not have been the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. If it was different, see, we serve a supernatural God. And he will do, let me tell you, supernatural things sometimes seem a little bit different. It shouldn't be weird and it shouldn't be strange, but it may have been different. And just because it was different doesn't mean it wasn't from God. See, here's what I'm hoping that happens for us is the Holy Spirit begins to open up our hearts and our mind to receive what he wants to say to us. Scripture is clear. Jesus is clear from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is from who? It's from Jesus. Now that's great because we know Jesus is not going to give us something that's going to frighten us or something that's going to be weird or something that's going to harm us. He told his followers over and over and again, I'm going away and I'm going to send you someone else. And he called him a helper. John 16, what did he say? He said, I'll tell you the truth. It's to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go, what? The helper will not come. We all trust Jesus, right? Hopefully we do. Many of us in this room have given our lives over to Jesus. So therefore, that means you trust him. If you've given your life over to him, that means you trust him. Many of us probably would say, Jesus, I trust you with my children, wouldn't we? Lord, rescue my babies, save my babies. We pray for our babies. Why? Because so if we can trust Jesus with our life and our children, then guess what? I believe we can trust him when it comes to giving us this gift called the Holy Spirit. Now, like any new relationship, when you want to get to know someone, it's often good to get someone who knows the person well to introduce you. Jesus understands this, so he takes the time to describe to you and I in terms and in words that we can understand. Now, here's the thing we don't need to get confused about the Holy Spirit, because it can be, as I'm talking up here, you can start to think, hold on, Lance. Are you talking about I have three separate relationships? I have one with God the Father, I have one with God the Son, and I have one with God the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible speaks of the Trinitarian God that you and I serve. He's triune, he's Trinitarian. That means he's three, but yet what? One. Now, that is a mystery. We're never going to completely understand that, because we serve, again, a supernatural, mighty God. You're never going to completely understand him. But he's three, but yet one. So Jesus made it very simple for you and I. I don't have three separate relationships, because for me, that would be difficult. Jesus made it easy. We have one God and one relationship with the Trinitarian God. Amen? But Jesus knows that he wants us to be clear. He wants to be clear to us about who this person is. So in John 14, he tells us, I'll ask the Father, and what will he do? Give us another helper. Now, we're going to break this down a little bit. That word, another helper, that word another is important. The Greek word for another is the word hetero. And that word means to be opposed or to be different. But there's also another Greek word used for the word another. And that is the word allos, A-L-L-O-S. And that means just like the former. So Jesus, again, the one we trust, is telling us that he's sending someone who is just like himself. He's a person. He's not the Force like Star Wars. He's a person. He's not an it or an impersonable force. He is the divine person that desires to be inside of us. Understanding the Holy Spirit is personal and not an impersonal force, friends, is very important for us. Very, if we walk through this series, this is very, very important. Because if we're going to know him, relate to him, and be impacted by him, we need to know that we're dealing with a person. In other religions, how you get filled with an impersonable force is through meditation. Now, that word meditation, if you read your Bible, you will see that word is used in Scripture. But in other religions, how you get filled with this force or this power is through meditation or what? Emptying your mind, emptying yourself, right? But when the Bible speaks of meditation, it's not talking that you need to empty your mind or empty yourself so that this force will come. When biblical meditation, friends, is that you actually fill your mind with God's Word, with God's Spirit. That's important. See, if you and I think the Holy Spirit is an it or a force, then what we will do is we'll have a mechanical approach to him. But if he's a person, then being filled with the Spirit, get this, is being filled with a person. Now, that preaches real good, but what does that mean? What does it mean to be filled with a person? What does that mean? See, think about someone coming over to your house. When you invite someone to your house, hopefully you do some things, right? Hopefully you clean your house. That would be a great start. Clean your house, pick up some things that are around. Ladies, get your shoes up. I know if you're like my wife, you leave them everywhere. Get those up. Men, get your old dirty socks and stuff up. Get all that up. Why? Because someone's coming over, right? We clean up a little bit. We may dress a little nicer if someone's coming over. We may cook our best food if someone is coming over. When they arrive, hopefully you don't say, hey, you sit here and I'm going to be in the other room. We wouldn't do that. Well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? See, when a person comes over, you're present with them. What do? You have conversation with them, right? Because why? They're a person. They're present. You might even ask them questions. They might respond. See, the awareness, get this, that they are coming over, this is important, guys, for us to understand how this person is in us. The awareness that they are coming over, or the awareness that they have arrived, causes you to be what? Mindful of their presence. You pay attention to them, right? You listen to them. You sit in the same room with them. You ask them questions. You listen to their answers. When a person is in your home, you are aware of their presence at all times. I would never, if I invite you over, I'm not going to say, hey, you just stay here, I'm going to go to bed. Your presence makes me aware that someone is in my house. Friends, I'm telling you, this is exactly what it means for the third person of the Trinity to live on the inside of us. You're aware of his presence in your life. You're mindful of his presence in your life. You pay attention to him. Before you make decisions, you go to him and ask him, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Now, I'm not talking about when you get up, you got to ask, Holy Spirit, what do I wear today? I'm not talking about that. To me, that's a little weird, but you might do it, but hey, that's all right. He might answer and say, I don't care, but if you want to ask the Holy Spirit those kinds of questions, all good. I'm not really talking about that. But what about making major life decisions? What about job transitions, career choices? What about asking? Again, you're talking to a person that lives in you, that's God. Hey, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? What do you think about this decision? Hey, what should I do about this? He's there. Again, why? He is our, Jesus tells us what? He's our helper. He helps us make godly decisions. He keeps us moving in the right directions. Direction. Now, as you read your script, version of Bible, you might have a different version of me. So different versions use different words. Sometimes this word is translated as what? Advocate or comforter or counselor. You may be wondering, why is there so many different words used to talk about the Holy Spirit? And the reason why is because He is that rich. He's so rich that one word cannot describe who He is. See, this word, when you look at this word, helper, you look at counselor, when you look at that word is parakletos, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. This is so good. Para means not to be in front of or behind, but it means to stand beside. So what does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit, He doesn't get ahead of us. He doesn't stand behind us. What does He do? He's with us. We're keeping in step. We're walking with Him. But the other word, kletos, means to declare or call or, get this, to argue. So that means the best way we can translate what Jesus is telling us here is that Jesus is saying, I'm sending another legal advocate. Jesus is telling us that this person, this helper, this counselor, this advocate, that He's loyal to us, that He stands with us, but He also is a person who argues or debates and makes cases. What does that mean? What does it mean for Jesus to tell us that He, Holy Spirit, is our legal advocate? It means that this person defends us. He defends us against the enemies of our world, and He defends us against the enemies of our own heart. Have you ever had a negative thought about yourself? I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I can't do this. Why did I do that? I should learn. You ever had that thought like that before about yourself? I know I did. Why did I say that? If you're married, you probably said that many times. But it's in those moments where we feel down and we're just dogging ourselves that the Holy Spirit comes and says, you're not that. He defends us. He makes a case. You're a child of God. He points to the cross. Look what Jesus did for you. You're not a loser. You're not defeated. You're a child of God. You can do this. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. But He also makes a case against our own heart's sinful desires. He argues with us. He makes a case to us that we don't need to go down that path. He screams at us, don't make that decision. That's called conviction, my friends. The Holy Spirit, if you read on later, convicts us of sin. That's a good thing. Therefore, one of the things I have learned to do with the Holy Spirit is ask Him, Holy Spirit, would you bring more conviction in my life? Because I need it. I need the Holy Spirit's conviction because His conviction, what, keeps me moving in the right direction. I don't want to foul out of the game. I've got too much responsibility. My life is more than me, and I can't go make a dumb decision and impact my family and you. So I need the Holy Spirit's conviction inside of me. I need Him to make a case. Holy Spirit, I'll keep it real with Him. When I'm being an idiot, please tell me. Help me. Help me. Move me. This is what He does for you and I. Why would we not want to grow in our relationship with the third person of the Trinity? Look at the benefits that we have. Galatians chapter 5 tells us, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit keeps us from doing what our flesh desires to do. You felt it before. I know you don't want to be honest in church, but you know it. Your flesh wants to do this. But yet Holy Spirit says, nuh-uh, we're not going to do that. We belong to Jesus. We're new creations in Christ. He reminds us what's He doing? He's making a case to keep us focused, moving in the right direction. Let's give God a hand clap for the Holy Spirit. Come on. Woo! Thank God for Him. Again, Jesus goes on. He goes on to, as he's talking to these disciples and us about the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on after talking about he's a helper, he's a counselor, advocate. He says, and you know him. Now, I'm sure when the disciples heard Jesus say, hey, you know him, they're thinking to themselves, Jesus, what are you talking about? I don't know him. Ever had somebody say, hey, I want you to meet John. And you're like, you know John? Yeah. You're like, I don't know John. Who are you talking about? I believe that's the way they felt. Jesus, what are you talking about? We don't know who this person is. See, again, just like you and I, sometimes the Holy Spirit to them sounded very mysterious. This is why he talks about him, that he's trying to help us. See, no, he's a helper. The role and nature of the Holy Spirit, friends, is to help. That's fantastic. I need help all the time. And I have a helper called the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of me. See, these men, they knew who the Holy Spirit was. They just didn't recognize him. Because when you read the Old Testament and you see the amazing things done by human beings, that wasn't because they had it wasn't their own natural strength doing these things. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, because Jesus hadn't came yet, he would come, he would cause the people to do great things, and guess what? He would leave. He didn't reside or abide or live. You think about some things. You think about King David. Remember David? Remember David, how he fought a lion and a bear? Come on now. It wasn't like he drunk some shake and he got some testosterone boost and he got to fight the lion and the bear. Who was it? It was the Holy Spirit. This supernatural God came on this man to kill a lion and a bear. When I get to heaven, I'm going to David. David, tell me how that happened. I want to hear that story. Do you have the highlight reel? Let me watch it. I mean, that's just amazing. Think about him running towards Goliath. 16 years old, running towards Goliath. Again, it wasn't because he thought it was the Holy Spirit who came upon him. Elijah, these great prophets of God, they performed all these miracles. By what? The Holy Spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and before they went to the fiery flames and say, look, whatever you're going to do to me, we don't care. We're not going to bow down. Throw us in there. That boldness and that confidence came because the Spirit of God came upon them. See, the disciples didn't know, but they have read about and heard stories of how the Holy Spirit worked. Now, because of the finished work of the cross and the resurrection and ascension, he has now come to live and abide inside of you and I. Well, how does he help us, though? If he's come to live inside of us, then how does he help us? That's good. We all want to know, I think. I would want to know that. John 14 and John 15, you can read this later, but 25 through 26 and John 15, 26, you get three simple things of how he helps us. He teaches us. He teaches us things. He bears witness to Jesus, meaning that he would never lead us in a way that Jesus is not going. That's how cults are started, my friend. Because someone thought that the Holy Spirit said something, but they didn't check it with God's word, Jesus, and they go off in a completely different direction. See, he bears witness to Jesus, meaning he always is in step with Jesus. Why? Because there are three, but yet one. He also brings to our remembrance, this is so good, all things that Jesus has said. He's the Spirit of truth. So he brings to remembrance all things that we have read or heard that Jesus Christ has said to us. As you get in your community group this week, you're going to dive deeper into this. You're going to talk more about this specific thing in your community group. Well, how does all this happen, though? Because a lot of that language I just used, talking about God speaking to us or leading us. But I think this is one of the things that Christians tell me that they struggle with the most. I know God speaks, but what's the next question? I know he speaks, but the question is what? What's he saying? What's he saying to me? How do I know that I'm hearing him and I'm not deceiving myself by thinking my own thoughts? Or maybe it's the enemy trying to deceive. How do I know for sure that this is the Holy Spirit talking to me? You know, in my experience, again, I believe we learn more and more about the Holy Spirit. Yes, through the Word, but also by experiencing him through others. And in my own experience, I have to be honest with you, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to me in long, drawn-out sentences. Because he knows, Lance, He's just not going to remember all that. And so what he does for me is he speaks to me in very clear and concise statements. Jesus, if you see Jesus doing this all throughout Scripture, before he left, he said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So many times when the Spirit of God is speaking to me, it's very simple things. I love, Jesus loves you. Jesus is for you. Lance, you can do it. Lance, don't quit. See, very simple statements. I remember one time out, as we were preparing to expand this facility, our building, this is about 5-6 years ago, and I went to Jesus, and I was, because one of the prayers I used to pray all the time, this is when I was younger, Christian, didn't really understand what I was doing, but anyways, I used to pray all the time, "God, give me the blueprint for my life." Meaning, "God, just lay out everything you have for me." This is a great man. This is what men pray. We're just not very smart. So, "Lord, I just need step by step." You know what I mean? "Give me a recipe so I can figure this out." And I remember Holy Spirit saying to me, "God's not going to do that." Because if everything's just laid out before you, Lance, the blueprint step by step, where's faith? What faith do you have to have, right? Why do you have to pray? Why do you have to seek God? Why do you have to trust in what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? If it's just, "May I just follow these directions?" And I remember as I was praying for this building and asking God, Lord, because I grew up hearing, you know, you pray specific prayers. And I'm not saying don't do that. That might work, but you're going to find out it didn't work for me. Lord, I was praying specific prayers. "God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to do that." And here's what I heard God saying to me. "Lance, whatever you do, do in faith." And I thought to myself, God, that's not any help. That's not helping me. That's not what I'm asking. I need answers. I need direction. Whatever you do, do in faith. See, what was God saying to me? He was simply saying, "Lance, I'm with you. Lance, I'm for you. You don't need directions. Make the decision yourself. Trust me." See, this is how the Spirit of God, I believe, speaks to you and I. You look in the Bible, you have this story in 1 Kings chapter 19. You got this guy named Elisha. This guy's on the run. He's running from this lady named Jezebel. He finds himself in a cave. He's scared to death. He's crying out to God. It's so funny because God, actually, while Elijah's in that cave, he's scared to death. Elijah's crying out to God, and God says to Elijah, "Why are you talking to me?" God's got a personality, man. "Why are you talking to me?" I'm sure Elijah's thinking, "God, because I'm in trouble. I need your help. What are you going to do? How are you going to get me out of this? What do you mean, why am I talking to you? I thought that's what I was supposed to do, pray, talk to you." And here's what happens. Elijah experiences this strong wind, this earthquake, and this fire. As he's in this cave, this wind comes, this fire comes, and this earthquake comes. And Elijah thinks, man, God's trying to show me something. Maybe he's thinking, God's in the wind, God's in the fire. And it's so amazing. It goes on to tell us that God was not in the wind. He was not in the fire. He was not in the earthquake. But then it said there was a small, still small voice or a low whisper that came to Elijah. A small whisper. And that small whisper is what encouraged Elijah to continue the fight. This is, I think, exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. In the chaotic moments of life, we don't know really what to do, what decisions to make, God begins to whisper to us. He begins to whisper, "I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I love you. You're going to make it." Just a low whisper. Everything else is loud, noisy, but you just, that Spirit of God. That real, simple, concise statements are being spoken to you. "God, what do I do? What do I do? I'm with you. I love you." See, you're going to figure it out. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Just listen. Stop looking for this is a church that believes in prophecy. We believe in thus saith the Lord. But so many times we're looking for the big word. What's the big word? Man, what's God saying? Many times, friends, it's just the low whispers of heaven that bring the encouragement that you and I need. Amen? Jesse, you can come on up. So, again, that's good, but how do I know? How do I know it is him talking to me? How do I know? How can I be sure that this whisper, even though I'm hearing a whisper, how do I know it's him? How do I know it's not my own voice? Or it's not the enemy trying to deceive me? Well, number one, three simple things we're going to dismiss here. Number one is the Holy Spirit, whatever he says, friends, always is in line with this. Always. Again, you have to know this. The Holy Spirit is always in line with this word. This is the Word of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he will never speak to you outside of this word. Also, number two, the Holy Spirit also, when he speaks, his word lines up with others. What do I mean? When I think I'm hearing something from the Holy Spirit, you know what I'll do? I'll go to you. I'll ask you, my spiritual family. Do you feel like this is what the Lord is saying? One of the greatest blessings that we have is that we have one another. We don't have to try to hear God by ourselves. The blessing that we have, and this is what we need to take advantage of, this is why we got to go to Starting Point, why we need to be in a community group, so that we can be surrounded by people that can hear what I'm hearing. So I can make sure that I'm taking the right steps. Hey, I feel like the Lord's saying this. Do you feel like he's saying this to me? Now, you're not going to do that with everybody, but there are people that God's going to connect you with as you take a step, build some trust. This is what happens in a community group. You build trust with one another. Now I can trust Doug Protovansky. I can go to him and say, Doug, hey man, we've been going to this group for a while. I see that you are, and you know some more things than I do. Hey, what do you think about this? I can go to whoever in my group. It lines up with others. If you're single, listen to me. Take advantage of the family God has put you in. You don't have to make decisions. You don't have to feel by yourself. You're not alone. You have a church family who loves you, who cares for you, but you have to take a step and get involved. You don't have to be afraid. This church is here to help you follow what God's saying to you. If you're married, hear me clearly. The Holy Spirit will speak to the both of you. He's not just going to speak to the husband or wife. He's going to speak to both of you. Now, husband or wife, if you feel like God is saying something to you and you go to your spouse and say, hey, what do you think about this? And they say to you, you crazy. Don't get upset. Don't get frustrated. Don't get mad. Be patient. Sometimes it takes a little more time for God to speak to the husband or the wife. Just be patient because he will speak to the both of you. Lines up with God's word, it lines up with others, and it also, Vince, you come on up, he operates in lines of authority. What do I mean by that? Because that word authority, oh God, our culture hates that word today. We're so afraid of it. But this is how the Holy Spirit works. It's why you have a pastor, pastors. I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about a pastoral team. I'm talking about our community groups, leaders. I'm talking about our prayer team. He operates in lines of authority. That's why we have a prayer team down every Sunday morning. So that if you feel like God's doing something, you can come down here and allow us to stand with you in prayer. This is what we do as a church family. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Father, we love you. I just want us this morning to, as we bow our heads, just to receive the Holy Spirit, how he comes.